السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. زين للناس حب الشهوات من النساء والبنين والقناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة والخيل والخيل المصومة والأنعام والحرث ذلك متاع الحياة الدنيا والله عنده حسن المآب. اس آیت کا ترجمہ یہ ہے
After reciting that the Shahud, Tawz and Surah Al-Fatiha, Hazrat Amir al-Mu'mineen Ayyadullah Ta'ala ibn Nasir al-Aziz recited verse 15 of Surah Ali Imran and then stated, The translation of this verse is as follows. Beautified for men is the love of desired things, women and children, and stored up heaps of gold and silver, and pastured horses and cattle and crops. That is the provision of the present life, but it is Allah with whom is an excellent home. This is the outline which Allah the Exalted has given, and this is how He has described the state of those who abandon God the Exalted. The acquisition of this world becomes their only goal. When man forgets Allah the Exalted, he is seized by Satan. All the aforementioned things are created by God Almighty, and they are among the blessings of Allah, from which one should derive benefit. The promised Messiah alayhi salam has also made it very clear to us that it would be wrong to cut oneself off from matters pertaining to this world. It is necessary to marry, which constitutes to sunnah, i.e. the practice of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then there are other such deeds which the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to act upon. Some of the companions had properties worth tens of millions. However, they were never inclined towards this world, nor were they engrossed in its pursuits. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, Remember that it is not at all the will of God that you completely cut yourself off from this world. Rather, His will is, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا that is to say, he indeed truly prospers who purifies his soul. He further says, do undertake trade, farming, employment, or craftsmanship. Undertake whatever pleases you. However, endeavor to restrain your nafs, i.e. one's desires, from disobeying God the Exalted, and undertake such purification that these matters do not make you unmindful of Him. At another occasion, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam stated, the fulfillment of the rights of the self is permissible, but transgressions of the self are not. Thus, a believer should always keep these words before him, so that the love of material objects do not grow to such an extent that it makes one forget God. Allah the Almighty stated in this aforementioned verse that زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ, i.e. beautified for men is the love of desired things. Then he further explains as to what those things are. Such people do not merely require these objects to survive. Rather, the people being mentioned here are those individuals who are engrossed in the love of this world and are only concerned about acquiring these material objects. Shahwat means an intense desire or yearning for something and a constant worry regarding it. It also denotes a thing or a goal which is merely based on selfish desires, filth, and something or someone with an increased sense of lust can also be described using shahwat. Thus, when Allah the Almighty states in the aforementioned verse that the desire of such things has been placed in the hearts of people, it does not signify that this love and desire comes from Allah. It does not refer to the desire of availing these blessings of God Almighty. Rather, these objects are from Satan. This is not a general desire, liking, or beauty. Rather, the desire and longing for this beauty is to that extent whereby a person becomes restless in order to acquire it. He becomes extraordinarily in love with these material objects. Thus, when a person becomes engulfed by these objects to such an extent, they no longer remain favors that have been bestowed by God Almighty. Rather, they become satanic desires. A person then utilizes every unlawful method in order to acquire them. As a matter of fact, it becomes incumbent upon him to act in this manner. This is something we commonly observe amongst worldly people. For the sake of acquiring wealth, worldly statuses, and for the sake of having unlawful relationships with women, these people cross all bounds. Even if they marry, they do so in order to acquire wealth. They desire to find a wealthy wife. Similarly, in other engagements, they merely desire worldly gains. It is unfortunate that Allah the Exalted endowed Muslims with a beautiful and pure teachings, and also warned them to safeguard themselves from these very pursuits. He warned not to permit the acquisition of these desires to become the purpose of one's life, as they are temporary worldly provisions. Instead, one should be mindful of one's own condition, as they will ultimately return to God the Exalted and present themselves before Him. Despite all of this, we observe that the majority of the Muslim world is engrossed in pursuing these worldly objects and have forgotten the purpose of their creation. Scholars, as well as leaders and every other person who finds the opportunity, tries to acquire these worldly provisions in one way or another. When such desires and traits develop within the leaders of countries, it in turn causes harm to those countries and nations. Presently, the reason why the Muslim countries are in disarray is because the description used by God Almighty to describe those who are distant from religion and worldly people in general is the exact condition of the Muslims of today. In order to accumulate wealth, leaders acquire a seat in the government by raising slogans or serving the general public. However, after this, they snatch everything away with their two hands in a manner which is beyond comprehension. The scholars are less concerned about the religious and moral education of the general public. Rather, their real objective is to make the general public follow them in the name of religion, and by acquiring a seat in the government, exploit the government by accumulating wealth and properties. They cry out the name of Allah. However, their actions do not display the slightest fear of Allah the Exalted. In Pakistan, we commonly observe these conditions. Muslim leaders are butchering their own Muslim citizens as if they were mere carrots and radishes. Human life has no value, and yet they do not leave their seats in government. This is happening in several countries, and their desire is to keep hold of their seats in government, manifest their authority, and also to continue amassing wealth. They will not be content with anything. What is the reason for Muslim countries, despite the fact that several countries have wealth and natural resources, to be in such a dire state, whereby a poor man continues to become even poorer and struggles to find even one meal? Now, it is said that Saudi Arabia is a wealthy country. However, even there, poverty is continuously on the rise. They previously had a certain population who were poor, but now this is increasing continuously. Despite being oil rich, poverty is exceeding all bounds. Only the conditions of the princes, the rich, and the leaders are favorable. They spend several million dollars in a single day. These people acquire money in an unlawful manner, or by depriving the rights of the poor, and also spend it in an unlawful manner. May Allah the Exalted grant wisdom to these leaders, kings, and all these people who are embezzling, so that instead of accumulating wealth, they become those who utilize and spend their wealth in the correct manner. By doing this, they will not only acquire the pleasure of God the Exalted, but will also gain authority in worldly terms. In this way, instead of following orders from non-Muslim powers and acting according to their wishes, the non-Muslim governments will begin to listen to them. In recent days, there has been a great uproar since the President of the United States has ordered for the embassy to be moved to Jerusalem and has declared it to be the recognized capital. In practical terms, all Israeli offices are already present there. However, the outside world had not recognized and acknowledged it as such. Now, following this decision, there is protest against it throughout the world. However, all this commotion and disorder and opposition from certain governments is a result of the weakness of Muslims. The wars that are taking place between Muslim countries and the internal restlessness has enabled for this to take place, and have also permitted others to create circumstances whereby such decisions are taken. The President of the United States desires that a state of peace should never exist between Muslims, and that they continue to do as they please. Saudi Arabia has now declared that this decision of the American president is not acceptable at all. A few days ago, however, they were agreeing to every word of theirs. They supported the decision against Iran. However, at that time, they should have stopped them and said that they will support every Muslim country and will therefore not tolerate any action taken by any superpower against a Muslim country. Similarly, they are acquiring help from the superpowers when taking action against Yemen. They took aid from the United States and agreed with everything they said for the sake of manifesting their authority and in order to exert their influence across that region. For the sake of acquiring temporary worldly provisions, they abandoned the commandments of God the Exalted. Subsequently, this was going to be the imminent outcome of disobeying the commandments of Allah the Exalted, which we are currently observing. Furthermore, these people are continuing to exceed all bounds due to their arrogance. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam has mentioned that people who merely remain in search of the worldly pursuits and preoccupy themselves with fulfilling their worldly desires, to a person who suffers from pruritus, who feels comfort by itching himself and believes that by doing so he feels a sense of relief. However, owing to this, he wounds himself. By itching himself, he experiences temporary relief and comfort, whereas his skin is being torn apart, and some people even bleed excessively. Thus, those things which a person desires beyond his need subsequently become the means of creating unrest. Those people believe that their strength is increasing or that their following is growing. However, they are in fact bleeding only themselves. On top of that, they are also incurring the displeasure of Allah the Exalted. God has mentioned this subject in another place in the following manner. اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. That is, know that the life of this world is only a sport and a pastime and an adornment and a source of boasting among yourselves and of rivalry in multiplying riches and children. This life is like the rain the vegetation produced whereby rejoices the tillers. Then it dries up and thou seest turn yellow. Then it becomes broken pieces of straw. And in the hereafter, there is a severe punishment, and also forgiveness from Allah and His pleasure. And the life of this world is nothing but temporary enjoyment of deceitful things. Hence, it is the duty of a believer to seek forgiveness and acceptance of Allah the Almighty, instead of being proud of worldly possessions and devoting all their efforts for the sake of obtaining such things. They should not destroy their lives and life after death by acting like a patient who is afflicted with pruritus. While speaking about the provisions and condition of this worldly life, in one of the gatherings, the promised Messiah alayhi salam stated, "A person's wishes are fulfilled to the extent of their efforts towards abstaining from the worldly desires." That is, the struggle to abstain from worldly immoral desires. The promised Messiah alayhi salam further says, "There is a fire in the heart of those who wish to abstain from obtaining worldly objects, and they are engulfed in this predicament. One can only find contentment in this world by removing this constant struggle for obtaining material possessions. One should not chase after worldly pursuits beyond that which is necessary to survive." The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, "Once a man was riding a horse. He saw a beggar who was wearing clothes that barely covered him. The horseman asked the beggar, 'Good sir, how are you?' The beggar's response was, 'If all the desires of a person have been fulfilled, what would be their condition?' The horseman was astonished at this response and asked, 'How can all your desires be satisfied?' The beggar responded, 'When one renounces all their desires, then it is as though they have attained them all.'" The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, "In short, when a person wants to obtain everything, then it becomes a source of discomfort for them. However, when someone is content and forsakes everything, then it feels as if they have obtained everything." The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, "Deliverance and salvation is when a person feels joy and not sorrow. A life of distress is not good in this life or the next." He further says, "This life will nevertheless come to an end, because it is akin to pieces of ice. Even if you keep it secure in cases and protect it by wrapping it in clothes, it will continue to melt." The promised Messiah ﷺ shared this example of ice in comparison to life, as it also diminishes accordingly. He continues by saying, "Similarly, one can plan as much as possible to live on, but the truth of the matter is that life will come to an end, and with the passing of each day, it diminishes. There are many doctors and physicians in the world, but no one can ever prescribe a medicine to live forever. No one can prescribe a medicine to gain eternal life or live up to a certain age." The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, "When people reach an old age, certain people visit them, and in order to make them happy, they say, 'Your age is not much at all. It is only 60 or 70 years. This is not old age.' They say such things, but actually these are all transient things." The promised Messiah Islam says, "The desire to live traps man in the deception of the self. We see in the world today that on average, after the age of 60 years, people's abilities dissolve completely. Anyone who lives to reach the age of 80 or 82 and their faculties remain unimpeded should consider themselves to be fortunate. However, in most cases, one's faculties are reduced significantly. Others do not entertain their suggestions, i.e. people refrain from asking their suggestions, and their ability to see reason and the general perception is overall hampered. Some elderly people like this are subjected to cruelty by their wives, as some forget to feed them occasionally. Members of the household do not treat them in a good manner." The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, "Human beings are careless during their adolescent years and forget about death. Likewise, the one in power thinks that this state of power will last forever." The promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, "He continues to commit evil deeds, and eventually, when he comes to the realization of his deeds, he is unable to do anything about it. Hence, we should see the years of one's youth as a treasure." Sat in the gathering was a Hindu by the name of Sharambat. Whilst addressing him, the promised Messiah ﷺ explained, "Of all the desires you harbored in your life, some would have come to fulfillment. But observe how their reality was like that of a bubble, which vanished instantly, leaving you empty-handed. When a man spends his early life in comfort, he eventually encounters difficulties that are of no benefit to him, and instead fill him with grief. What a wise man can deduce from this is that one should learn to live in the present and recognize the need of the time and act accordingly. As for man's life at present, the time that has passed is lost, and it is useless to dwell on it. See how happy one is when in the lap of their mother, everyone rushes to pick him up and carry him around. That period seems like a paradise, but as time passes, if one were to ponder over it, they would think as to how quickly that time had elapsed. It too has disappeared, just as all the temporary things of the world. Comforts are also temporary, so whenever one finds comfort, power, or is given authority, they should keep these things in mind and think to themselves, when will one find these times again? Whilst narrating an incident, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, a king was walking and started crying when he saw some young children. Ever since he left that company, he suffered pain. He began crying because the children were playing and were free from all worries. From this, he remembered his own childhood, that what a good era that was, yet now the times have all but changed. Hence, even kings do not find peace and tranquility despite all their luxuries. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, the only thing is that one must come to realize that the period of old age is a difficult time, and in that time, even close friends wish for that individual to die, yet prior to their death, one's strengths abandon him. Some relatives of the elderly are so hard-hearted that when they see their illness or in old age, they say, what a burden he has become on us. Regarding life itself, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, in such an age, one's teeth fall out, their eyesight fades, and inevitably, one resembles a rock to the extent that even their face becomes distorted. Some are afflicted with such illnesses that it drives them to suicide. We also see that this is happening in the world in this day and age. So essentially, such people have no status. Despite all this, when one is youthful and full of energy, when it is a time to earn money and he has the strength to do so, one remains oblivious to what will happen to him in the future. At times, when he wishes to escape from certain troubles, he is overtaken by them all at once. And if his offspring are not worthy, then he suffers even more, and at that moment feels as if he has made a mistake, and that his life passed by in vain. It is during that moment of realization that he remembers that it would have been better if he had followed the commandments of God Almighty and lived his life according to them, instead of being engulfed in the world and neglecting God Almighty. Hence, many pharaohs have passed, and many Hamans too, who, if one studies their lives carefully, were very powerful people. One can learn from them that their worldly status and grandeur came to no avail. There were kingdoms and empires much more powerful than the governments of today in terms of exerting their authority, but they all perished. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, the true wise person is the one who turns to God Almighty, deems him to be one, none like unto him. We have trialed and observed that no goddess nor any idol can be of any benefit. If one does not prostrate solely to God, then no one will have mercy on him. If any calamity befalls him, no one will ask him. Thousands of tribulations befall man, but remember that there is none other than the one provident God. It is he who pours love in the heart of a mother, and if he did not create the heart, then they would not be able to raise their children. Therefore, do not take any partners with him. This is what the Promised Messiah alayhi salam advised that Hindu. In some religions, people make physical goddesses and idols, but some people take worldly objects such as children, power, and authority as partners with God Almighty. Then there are friendships, or like the example I gave, that some nations wish to seek the protection of other powerful nations. They make them their gods, but all these things are bound to finish, and just as God Almighty has stated that their abode shall be hell. Then on one occasion the Promised Messiah alayhi salam stated, "Know full well that he who becomes God Almighty's, God Almighty becomes his, and that God Almighty cannot be deceived by anybody. If one wishes to cheat God Almighty by mere outward show and deception, then this is plain foolishness and ignorance. Only he himself is deceived. The beauty and love of the world are the root of all vices. To be blinded by it takes the humanity out of a person, and one does not realize what they are doing and what they should be doing. Just as a wise person cannot fall into the deceit of others, how then can God Almighty be deceived by anyone? Nevertheless, the root of all of these actions is the love of the material world, and the greatest sin which at this time has laid the Muslims in a state of ruin, and in which they are suffering, is this very love for this world. Whether it is during the day, in their sleep, or when they are out and about, this worry consumes them. Their only grief is the world, and they have no worry or thought for what will happen when they will enter their graves. If these people feared God Almighty and had the slightest worry for their faith, they would benefit greatly. Thus, it is the duty of a believer to worry about his state in the hereafter and attaining God Almighty's love, instead of being engrossed in the concerns of the world. He should have contentment, and by understanding the goods of the world to be a blessing from God Almighty, he should make use of them, but not adore them and run in pursuit of them. Our only deity is He who is our true God. A believer should love God Almighty the most, and it is the love of God which brings about righteousness and contentment in man. God Almighty Himself has told us that the sign of a believer is that they are the foremost in the love of God Almighty. He says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ, that those who believe are stronger in their love for Allah. With regards to the love of the Almighty, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, "One must know that God Almighty's sense of honor in His personal love necessitates for a believer not to associate any partners with Him. Faith, which is the most dear to us, can remain protected only when we take no partners in our love." God Almighty states that this is the sign of a believer, that وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ, meaning that the believers are those who do not incline to anyone more than God, and in their love is exclusive to Him. Whoever gives this right to others will be destroyed. Can all the blessings man receives from God and all the acceptance attained be achieved through mere simple prayers or ordinary worship? Of course not. In fact, it is only attained through the unity in one's love and losing oneself in the love of God. Whoever becomes His remains His. In His path they sacrifice all others by their own hands. I myself know full well the reality of this pain which is felt when one is snatched away from their beloved, who they love to their utmost. However, my sense of honor requires that there be no other in comparison to our true beloved. My heart's verdict has always been that to have eternal love for those other than the Divine, be it for a son, a friend, or any other, is a type of heresy and a great sin, through which there is a risk of losing faith if the divine blessings and mercy do not save one from it. It is the mercy and grace of God that provides such occasions. If not, then faith goes to waste. Hence, a true believer cannot even contemplate harboring intimate love for worldly goods that manifest themselves before him. It is incumbent upon a believer to make advancement in his righteousness and to develop contentment. This is why the Holy Prophet ﷺ said to become a muttaqi, i.e. a righteous person, and the most devoted in worship. Only then will God Almighty's love and fear develop in the hearts, and only then will man be able to fulfill the rites of the worship of God Almighty. It is the duty of a true servant to develop contentment. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said that if you develop contentment, then you will be grateful, and man is the most thankful to God Almighty, as he should be. Those who utter that they are grateful to God, but are lost in their pursuit of the materialistic things, are in reality entangled in hubbu shahawat, i.e. the love of desired things. They can never truly be grateful. Describing these materialistic people, the Holy Prophet ﷺ once said, "If the son of Adam had a valley full of gold, he would like to have two valleys. Yet, nothing can satisfy his desires until he enters his grave. Only when he lays in his grave will his greed end." He then states, "God Almighty accepts the repentance of one who repents." Thus, during one's life, one should repent if he has committed any mistakes. Whilst explaining the level of contentment of a believer, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "He who spends his morning with contentment and in physical health, and he has a day's food, it is as if he has gained the whole world and all its comforts." Hence, this is the level of contentment of a believer. May Allah the Almighty grant us this contentment and righteousness. May our aim be to attain God Almighty's love rather than the love of material things. And may we be the recipients of the forgiveness and the pleasure of Allah. After this, I would like to draw attention towards a prayer. As I have previously mentioned briefly, that leaders of Muslim countries are chasing after worldly desires, and in practice have taken powerful governments to be their God in place of God Almighty, and who think that befriending them will guarantee them protection and progress. However, just look at the state of America. In the last few days, an analyst of a German newspaper wrote an article. Among all other things, he wrote that the world, which used to take Washington as a model, or turned its attention to it, or believed that it was a model which they should follow, perhaps is no longer applicable. He writes that this is because Beijing, the capital of China, has become the model in place of it. America has lost its reputation and status. Thus, worldly support is only temporary. They may exist today, but tomorrow they will perish. The Muslims should now learn from this announcement made by the United States to shift the embassy to Jerusalem, which has not only been made in order to strengthen their relations with Israel and grant them more power and that their reputation may remain intact. However, when a decline is ordained by God Almighty, then worldly relations and pacts cannot be of any avail. It seems perhaps as if this has begun with these powers, especially America. Only God Almighty knows when we will see the consequences of this. However, the efforts of Muslims to fight back in these circumstances will only increase further. This is why we should pray for the Muslim world, that may God Almighty grant them understanding, they become united, and the chances of war between nations be averted. Furthermore, the fighting between Muslim nations, where thousands, and according to some surveys, hundreds of thousands of lives are lost, may Allah grant them understanding and enable them to live as one nation. May He end these disputes so that the enemies of Islam do not take any benefit. Most of all, we must pray that the Muslims accept the promised Messiah and Imam Mahdi sent by God Almighty, with whom, if they attach themselves, can establish peace between themselves and in the world at large.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر